Hey guys, before we get rolling here, I just want to thank those of you who have left me a review on iTunes. This helps me keep the podcast free, so please keep them coming. Tell your friends. I also want to thank those guys that have been sending in the questions. This is what this podcast is about. It's about getting you the info that you need to help become a better hunter. Now you can actually go to my website, interviewswiththehuntingmasters.com, and click on the Ask the Pro section. And you can send me your questions there, and you can even suggest a guest. And lastly, before we jump into this episode, I want to shed a little light on one of my sponsors, Sneak Tech Sneak Boots. I've been wearing them now for several years, and they've really upped my stalking game. I'm not a very sneaky person, and I find that extra added stealthiness that they give me has really, really improved my stalk. I believe in them so much that I've decided to give away one pair each month to a lucky subscriber. So if you're a subscriber, once a month, I'm going to be announcing a winner to win a pair of Sneak Tech boots. So go ahead and go check them out at sneaktech.com, and that's SneekTech.com. Let's get to the next episode. Welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by theoutdoorinsiders.com, your number one spot for inside information and quality gear. Today we're doing a little something different here. I got Garrett Johnson with me, and I guess we're going to kind of like flip the script a little bit, and he's going to host a podcast. We've been getting a lot of questions about bow hunting coyote, I poked around a little bit to find somebody who does it as avidly as I do, and I couldn't find anybody. So we're gonna ask me questions, I guess. So from here on, I'm gonna pass you over to your new host.
All right, what's up, everybody? So I don't know, 18 year vet, but really the last 10 years pressing it really hard. Been videoing and HD and stuff for the last little while, hunting coyotes. I've always been intrigued by being able to take one of these critters with archery equipment, and being an avid archery hunter myself. I mean, there were years that I bought a new bow every year. I got the new setup. It kind of wavered to just strictly hunting coyotes, and I quit pursuing the big game as much with the archery equipment. But kind of here and there, I would always try it and have never had the success. And I know that John and I have talked, and he's had tremendous success with doing it with this equipment, and I'm just really intrigued on, you know, I think I know what I need to do. I just haven't had, the perfect opportunity, and I'm probably still not doing it correctly. And to tell you the truth, I've not tried it that much because, I mean, coyotes around here are worth $50 nowadays, and it's just not worth it for me to watch one run off. And I am entertaining the thought. Colton Gillum and I, my partner, we're definitely entertaining the thought of trying this. We have a good friend, Cole Ponce, that's a traditional bow hunter, and he's always begged us to call him one into stick and string range. I'm sure this is something that's going to happen for sure, but I just kind of want to chat with you a little bit about your setups. I know that you and I have talked about the way that you set up a little bit different just to get that broadside shot and to get the coyotes to come in a little bit different. Why don't you touch on that for us?
Well, before I get into the actual setup, let me back up just a little bit here. And before you get to the setup, obviously, you know, this as a seasoned coyote hunter, you got to go where the coyotes are. You got to pick spots where they're going to come in. You got to be a proficient caller. I use an electronic caller. I've actually never killed them with a bow with a mouth call. I've killed them with a shotgun with a mouth call, but never with a bow. It just doesn't lend itself. You get busted too easily. You know, they catch your movement and they're gone. And by the time you get drawn back, they're in the next county. So, but the setup is very, 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 very important, because I'm sure you know, if you've called in coyote to 20 yards plenty of times, calling it, it's getting them killed. So when I go to a spot that I know holds coyote, before I get to my setup, the approach is a big thing too. I try to basically be as low impact as possible. I'm going to use the wind, and I kind of drew something up here. I'm going to kind of show you guys. I'm going to share my screen real quick. So let me do that real quick here and share the screen, so it'll be a little bit easier for you to understand. But I'll try to describe it for those just listening in. So what I do is I park my truck. Okay, here's a big chunk. I don't know if you can see that yet, Garrett. Can you?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
cool. So one of the reasons why I got into bow hunting coyotes really was so I can hunt in the city. So I can hunt in the city limits and not worry about firearms, because this is all legal hunting with a bow, but you can't use firearms. So I try to look for these tracks like this that has, roads on all four sides, basically. And that way I can plan my approach from any direction. I can park anywhere depending on what the wind is doing. Because the wind is a very key point in how you get the coyotes coming. Anyway, so this little box here in the corner is my truck. Okay, I park here. This blue line is the way I hike in. So what I try to do is I always try to either quarter into the wind or head into the wind directly until I'm at least a couple hundred yards away from the truck. And then I make an abrupt turn, a 90-degree turn, so that when I end up in my spot, the wind is basically perpendicular or coming across me as opposed to in my face. Most traditional coyote setups, you're setting up for the wind in your face, or something to that effect, because you're trying to avoid the wind. But the reason why I like the wind coming across me is because 8 times out of 10, they're going to use the wind and circle, even though the sound is coming a certain way, they're going to circle and get that wind right. Matter of fact, Father's Day, matter of fact, I went out with my cousin Anthony, and I called in a set of five, and I missed one and gave another one a haircut. It was just, I don't know, just stupidity on my part. But every single one of those dogs, except for one, and they didn't come together. They were all singles, came separately from different directions. What's that?
Between time wise,
less than a minute. I mean, so that, but they were coming from different directions, so I can tell that they weren't really, they may probably be part of the same pack, but they weren't really hunting together, or they were hunting spread out. They all came from the upwind side and circled, like they went like an extra couple hundred yards and circled around to get the wind in their favor. And I was set up in a perfect spot, except for the fact that the vegetation wasn't, it was great for cover, but it was hard to shoot around. And that's why I end up, well, the one that I gave our haircut, I misjudged his range, but the one that I missed, I hit a branch, and, it was a little too thick. But it was a really, I mean, had I had a shotgun, I Well, I don't know if they heard the shots, if the other ones would have come in, but if I had a shotgun, at least four of them would have been dead for sure.
Ask you this, what's your go-to stop like sound for yourself when you're by yourself?
I play the
It's
rabbit, man.
oh really, you don't stop them with a kiss, you don't stop them with a whoop.
No.
You
I
just
let them come straight in, running in. I'll have them pick up the call sometimes. I've had them come in and grab the call and start to run off with it before they realize that it's not a rabbit. I don't my I set up my spot, okay. I'm gonna get into that why they stop. They stop for me. But I have had them come and pick up the call and run with it. So setting up perpendicular to the wind is very important. The next most important piece of the puzzle, and I'm going to switch to, I'm going to share my screen again here, is I try to look for a setup. Okay. Can you see that? I get a very good backdrop, always into the trees. I back myself in there. I always give myself a lot of cover, and I always make sure there's some front cover to me as well, to give me a chance to draw. And I always look for spots that have a tree that's basically 20 to 30 yards away from me that they have to come around to get to the call. So, can you see this cursor going around like this? Garrett, can you see this?
Yep, right there. Yep.
Okay. All right. So this arrow right here indicates the wind. So the wind is going perpendicular to me, or parallel, excuse me. Perpendicular to me or across me. Okay. Those coyotes came from over here where my cursor is, and they ran around here. They got the wind and they came in like this, which ultimately put them broadside to me. And every one of them stopped right here where this other bush was. This is actually the setup that we were at, by the way, where there are these two bushes where they stopped here and peered into the tree. So I always hide the call so that they have to look for it. And that's where the stop comes from.
No
They always,
decoy.
no decoy. I stopped using decoys a long time ago. Decoys worked really well for me with fox and bobcats, but coyotes didn't really ever need them. But yeah, so they come around and they'd stop here. The first one stopped literally right behind the bush, and I try to get John Stoll is the greatest archer in the whole world and try to shoot through the bush, and I hit the branch and it didn't happen. The other guy stopped, just his head was in the bush and his body was out, so it's perfect. I got drawn back, shot him, but I thought he was closer to the bush than he was, and he or excuse me, I was thought he was further away from the bush than he really was, and I shot a little high. So really, that's like, I mean, that's it in a nutshell right there. Is I'm looking for these like forced funnels, like as you can see in this right here. I'm sitting in a line of trees in a wash, and there's another wash right across from me. So what this does too is I can see them coming, but once they hit this vegetation, they're in enough cover that I can draw back already. So that to me is very, very important, is the ability to draw back. So I'm like, am I back on here? Okay, good. Sorry, stop sharing that. Those are the major points. There's a lot of little nuances too that I look for. So, guys that go coyote hunting with me always, they're like, dude, why are we walking so far? Why we keep, why, what's wrong with this spot? What's wrong with this spot? Like, I'll keep on going. So matter of fact, like in February, I had Willie Schmidt with me. We were hunting javelina, and we got done a day early, so we decided we're going to go coyote hunting. And I made him hike 3.5 miles in the rain to a spot. And I'm like, listen, if we get to this spot, I know I'm going to call in a coyote, and I know we're going to get a shot opportunity because of the setup. And what it is, it's a deep drainage. Okay. And it's only about 200 yards across. And there's the one spot that I sit has is basically an island of rocks that pop out, and I sit in the rocks, and there's vegetation that they have to cross, and they have to go around to get to the call. So I got this force funnel where I could control the wind. I know the wind's going left to right on me. I have, again, my obstruction that they have to come around to come see the call. Basically, what I do is, I don't know if you've ever listened to Chris Rowe talk about the window or the room, basically, when he calls elk. You know how elk hang up, or it's the same thing with coyote. If they're going to get to a spot where they think they should be able to see the what's making the noise, they're going to stop and look. So you got to make it so that they come where that spot is, basically, where they stop to look, is within your effective range with a bow. It's pretty much as simple as that. Looking for those spots and being able to recognize them is where the I guess the technique comes in, or the experience comes in. You know, I spent a lot of time figuring it out, and I won't just set up just to set up. So like when I go coyote hunting, I probably do no more than three or four stands and I'm done for the day. But in three or four stands, let me back up a little bit. I don't always call in coyotes. So if they don't come in, they don't come in. But when I do call them in, I got a higher than 50% success rate of killing them with a bow,
Wow.
which is a higher average than a bow kill in the United States for any animal. So, and it's all about the setup. It's not because I'm a fantastic archer, but I mean, being accurate helps, and being able to judge on the fly helps, distances and stuff.
Ask you a question before I forget it.
Okay.
That I have had calling them in, even ha it's it happened with Red Fox while I'm out bow hunting mule deer in fields and whatnot. How do you eliminate? Yeah, the equipment's changed and whatnot from when I used to do it, but eliminate string jump like mule deer do it. But it seems like coyotes and foxes are way better at it than a mule deer. I mean, every time I would draw back, I would be bare down. Everything was perfect. And granted, it was a 50-yard shot, but it seemed that that coyote could get around my arrow before the arrow could get there.
You know, I've had that happen, and I tell people all the time a coyote can jump a string faster than any deer that I've ever seen. I tend to lead them a little bit because I feel when they jump, when they start to duck, they lean forward and start to go. So I aim right at their shoulder. I don't aim for vitals. I aim at their shoulder. I play my calls really loud is another thing. So I typically so I use Fox Pro, and I typically keep my volume goes to 40. I start somewhere around a 28 and I bring it up to a 30, 32. So it's fairly loud. And I, you know, sometimes I'm sure that's hinders me from calling them in, because maybe if I come in real close and they're really close and I start that loud, I might scare the shit out of them. I don't know, but I don't know. I mean, when I call in coyotes, they're typically in the first 2 minutes, so I must be getting pretty close to them. I know a lot of
Well,
guys
like
are.
you were saying, though, you're hunting basically rural areas, right? I mean, for the
Well, I've done
most
it in
part, you're
both. I've done it in both. I mean, I like to hunt rural areas. I think I have a higher success rate in it because the dogs don't get called to. You know, if I go just outside of town, Those dogs get heavily called to, and they get called to wrong a lot. They get shot at a lot and get missed and whatever. So, but no, I've done it all over the country. So not just in Arizona. I've done it in all types of terrain, from desert to, hardwoods and Ponderosa. I've done it with every predator there is too. Mountain lion, bear, fox, bobcat. I've shot them all with my bow. Oh, I haven't called in a mountain lion and killed it with my bow. I've called in three, but for some reason, something always happens on the mountain lion that they never. My first one, I called in right about, he got to about 100 yards, and three coyote came faster than him and cut him off. And he saw the three coyotes and he turned around and left. The other time, I knew it wasn't a really ideal setup, but there was lion sign in this place, and I was like, you know what, I need a call in here. And I was by myself and I was worried. So I was looking more for a secure place to call from, that I wasn't going to get a mountain lion crawling up my back. And he came in and he hung up about 150 yards, and he just, I think his perch was, he was looking down and he couldn't see what was, and I was using a deer sound. I think if I was using a rabbit, he would have kept on coming, because I think he was expecting to see a deer from that distance flopping around or struggling or something, and he didn't see it. He hung up there for about 15 minutes, and I just was wishing I had a rifle, and he decided to turn around and left. And the third time that it happened, I was with two friends of mine, and I had just shot a coyote on the run at 52 yards. It was actually the best shot I've ever made. And knocked her off a cliff. She went flipping down, and three or four more came in and they were running towards the call. I had put the call in front of my buddy. I had kind of set it up that he would get the shot, and they just happened to cross me going to the call, and I took one running. Anyway, but so the other three went over there, and my buddy had his 22. I said, get up and go shoot him. And as he was getting up and crawling around the bush to go shoot him, I looked over and here comes this freaking mountain lion, and he saw, the mountain lion saw my buddy getting up, hit the brakes and started running the other way. But yeah, it was pretty cool. That was in Fountain Hills.
Rate on archery kills with coyotes? I mean, it's got to be pretty darn tough, because they're even hard to see when you know the where they drop with a rifle. I mean, in order, I mean, blood trails and things like
Yeah,
that, but
so
man,
that's
it's
the thing with a rifle, they don't bleed as much, with a bow, they're bleeding, it's just like blood trail in a deer. And believe it or not, most of my shots, I, like I said, I try to get them broadside, but I feel like most of my kill shots are somewhat quartering too. And for some reason, quartering too, they just drop. I've had like 10 of them just drop right there. Just fold up. Fold up. It's pretty crazy. It's fun. It's really fun. The one I spot and stalked in January, I guess I typically called him in as well too, because I didn't have a shot where he was. So I lip squeaked him and he popped up out of his bed and he just came and looked down, and I whacked him right here and square in the chest, and he just, he dropped like a sack of potatoes.
traditional equipment.
What, I've never killed one with my bow. Oh, it's my longbow or my recurve. But I've only tried three times, and I never had a coyote come in. Those three times, I don't know why. Mainly because I think, here's the thing: most of my setups, and I'm going to get into this. Most of my setups, I set up, I'm sitting down with my bow. Sometimes is a kneeling setup with the longbow. It's so long you can't do that. You have to find a spot to stand up. So my setups were, they're not perfected yet with me standing and finding a spot where I'm concealed enough standing to get them to come in and whatever. So I'm just choosing a spot that I'm forced to take because I have to stand, and I haven't found that sweet spot yet. but I'm sure if I was to call them, like where I was in some boulders or something up and had a little elevation on them, that I could get them to come in. Whether I could hit them or not, I don't know. But you know, that's a different story. So we talked a little bit about the setup. One of the things that I like to do is, like I said, I like to sit down. I like to make sure there's some brush cover on me. I always draw my bow back. I always check and see what my clearance is. I mean, as a bow hunter, you should be doing that anyway, but check, see what your clearance is. And then what I do is I just start ranging. The first thing I see, the things that stick out to me, those things that jump out at me that I know I'm going to remember in my head, I range those things. And those are my markers. And that's how I use those markers to judge something that comes running in at 30 miles an hour and stops for a half a second to look in a bush real quick and shoot. So those are definitely key points to getting a kill with the bow. You have any other questions? Or am I answering all the questions before you're asking them?
The entire time, but I didn't think he was going to stop on that one that quick. But I should be better than this. I don't know. Other than just, you know, just being able to get out there and get those opportunities that you need. I mean, it's just getting yourself in the brush and actually attempting it and being willing to watch these coyotes run off. Mm-hmm. and learning from what experiences. It's just no different than what we've been doing with rifles, really. I mean, you're right. It really is. And you know what works best and you've done it that way. And it's fun to hear somebody that's been successful doing this because it intrigues me and it makes me want to try it. Mm-hmm. In a highly populated area of coyotes, not per se the normal stuff that I'm hunting. Our opportunities in Utah don't come by that often. We got mostly public land. There's really no such thing as private property that's worth a shit. So there's areas that I've been to, such as like Tucson, Arizona, this year. Mm-hmm. For the world competition. Had we had a bow, we could have done really well. I mean, the coyotes are running around in backyards for, I mean, people that don't know this, and they're everywhere. Places like that I know that I'm legal and I, mm-hmm. you know, went on vacation or took my bow or something like that, I think it'd be a great thing, a fun thing to try.
Oh, yeah. Because
I mean, where I've tried it, honestly, I've never taken my bow out of the case, jumped on my wheeler, went from the house, and went and tried to call a coyote. Every single time I've had opportunities, I've seen fresh coyote shit. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, my buddies are out hunting mule deer. It's slow. I've always got my call around my neck. I sit down, I start making stands. Yeah, I've got primitive equipment in my hand, but it's fun. And yeah. I'm learning coyote body language regardless. And I love that. I just love to watch. Me and my wife actually have, we had pups for quite a while, and we were just enjoying the watching of their body language and how they react to things and what they do and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's basically just that. It's a learning experience. And I've only honestly flung an arrow at a coyote twice, and it was the same coyote with my bow. But I've had, I don't know, I'd say 3 or 4 different opportunities of them coming into like the 30 or 40 yard range, and I think I'm okay, and I start my draw. Mm-hmm. And it's over.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, you know. But learning, I mean, it's no different. It's helping me in all aspects of hunting. So
right.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. It's actually one of my favorite things to do. I mean, I kind of what I do all spring and summer, really. I very rarely hunt coyote in the wintertime or fall because I'm big game hunting, but you know, spring and summer, I don't do much. I don't fish. I don't turkey hunt. I mean, I have turkey on it, but I don't, it's not something I do every year. It's just, that's my spring and summer hunting is calling coyotes, or predators in general. I mean, I love hunting fox. I look for those rocky areas. Most guys, so like when you're rifle hunting, I mean, this is actually a question to you. So when you're looking for a spot, you're looking for like bigger, wider open stuff, right? So that you can see further, or
Just depends. I'll take whatever I can get, and I usually can adapt to whatever I get given to me. But we're trying to make stand after stand after stand. We're trying to put 15+ sets in a day. So I mean, we take what we can get. But yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, that's great. But the coyotes nowadays, it almost seems like around here they're becoming a hybrid. They're smart. I mean, it would blow your mind the difference from right now to 10 years ago. I mean, the things we could get away with 10 years ago was mind blowing. I look back and I'm like, how did I kill that coyote? Like, it just doesn't seem like it would work now. But I'm smarter. I'm a predator hunter now because of those experiences and how long I've been doing it. It's time in the field. And yeah, I mean, if you're looking for ultra setup, that's it. That's wide open, something you can glass, something you can stay concealed. But as far as trying to get an archery shot and that kind of stuff, it's damn near impossible.
Well, that's what I was getting at. So, part of to my success, going back to, the setup, I explained in detail how I need to have certain trees, I need to have this, I need to have a good backdrop. I like to have, terrain funnels if I can, or at least vegetation funnels. I don't think I never tried because I never thought it would work, but I don't think I can kill one, in a wide open prairie. Actually, I did try in Wyoming, but we didn't have any coyotes come in. But that setup that me and my buddy Wade did, I was just sitting there the whole time thinking to myself, this ain't gonna work because we're gonna get picked off. We're sitting in sagebrush, our heads basically just above the sagebrush or whatever, and they're just gonna pick us off because there's no way I'm gonna get drawn back. But so picking the type of vegetation or the type of it definitely has to be thicker, or there has to be trees. Like I call in the ponderosas all the time up here, and the undergrowth is very sparse. There's nothing, it's very open. You can see for a long ways, but I build myself a little quick little blind up against a tree, and I always look for, so like if I'm hunting in like the ponderosas, I look for a deadfall, and I stick the call inside a deadfall, and that acts as that barrier that they have to come around. When I'm hunting in the hardwoods, it's very similar to that. I'm looking for a forest funnel. I'm going to put my back up against some brushy stuff with hopefully with a tree too. I got a good story about that actually in the hardwoods in Kentucky, but and I look for these things that a coyote has to come around to present a shot to me, because if they're going to come straight in, eyes focused right at me, if the call's sitting right in front of me, oh, that's another thing I didn't talk about, which I'm going to right now, is where you set up the call. The call, let me say this now before I finish what I was saying. The call always has to be off to a side. So if we go back to that share screen here, okay, you see here, and here's the call. Now I'm a right-handed hunter, so most of my shot opportunities are to my left. As a right-handed shooter, or you draw back with your right hand, your most of your motion is to your left. So I sit with my back, basically almost my back to the wind, almost in this scenario right here, so that I can shoot from basically from here. Oops, didn't mean to do that. I can shoot from here all the way to about here. Okay, so I got about 150 degrees that I can shoot in a seated position without having to move my body. That is key right there. And the other key thing about that is if they do come barreling in straight to the call and don't mind the wind, or they come from behind you, the call is not in the line of sight of you. And that is key. I do that even when I rifle hunt. Actually, I don't really rifle hunt, I shotgun hunt. So my setup's almost exactly the same shotgun hunting as it is, what do you call it? Bow hunting. And with a shotgun, my success rate is really high. Huh?
Even rifle hunting, I don't ever like that call out in front of me. And it's for the same reason. You always think you know where the coyotes are going to come from, but it always seems like it's never right. What you expect. Every now and then you can call a shot.
So with the electronic calls, the other thing I do is I always point the horn side of the speakers. So like on the Fox Pro, the horn's on one side and the regular speakers on the other. I always push the horn side. I always put the horn side to the side that I want them to come from, which is usually the downwind side. So if the wind's going this way, I'm pointing the horn this way. That even guarantees them a little bit more that they're going to circle that way. For some reason, coyotes like to come right to where the sound's focused coming from. That I found. I mean, can they come from, yeah, I've had them come from behind. I've had them, you know, come from whatever direction they want. But for the most part, they're gonna do what I had described earlier, is they're gonna try to circle, get the wind right, and get the sound direction right. And it really helps pinpoint getting them to do what you want them to do. And that's the key of bow hunting them, is getting them to do what you want them to do. You know, I've seen other guys like Tim Wells shoot coyotes. And, you know, obviously, I think Tim, what he does is he makes up for it in being a freaking amazing bow shot. I mean, he can snap shoot. He shoots fingers. So his draw and everything's way faster. So if they come from any direction, you know, it's like, it's almost like shooting with a shotgun. And he's that good that he can shoot that way. I can't shoot butterflies out of the skies like he can. But so can it be done the other way? Yeah, but you got to make up for it somehow by not, you know, getting them to do what you want them to do. So we were talking about hardwoods before I went on my little tirade about, you know, direction of the call and stuff. So like if you're setting up in the hardwoods and stuff, you'll still look for the similar things. I look for like a little opening, you know, it might be 10 yards of, you know, where no trees are, you know, like the canopy's open just a little bit. And you kind of just sit there. That way they have to come past the tree line and get into an opening to get shot. And the reason why I look for a tree, I always like to sit up against something, you know, big, is because I've had one time I actually had a raccoon come from behind, came crawling around the tree, ran down the front of my chest and ran out to the call, thought I was part of the tree. It was pretty crazy. But I like to try to maximize my protection, you know. Even if I had a rifle, that would have been a shitty situation. It's not like you can be shooting them, you know, coming. But yeah, that was fun. That was in Kentucky. I killed two coyotes that day, by the way. I've never actually seen them come harder than any other place than there. I mean, both of those coyotes came two different stands. Both of them came right to the damn call and like literally picked it up and realized that it wasn't a live animal. And they got the pointy end of the stick.
Let's talk about equipment, particular equipment.
Like you're cutting out.
Oh, your leads and your arrows and your broadheads. Does anything change that way as far as big game hunting or?
No.
No, it's all going to stay the same.
No. The only thing like I tend to do is I tend to lean towards my shorter axle-to-axle bows because I'm sitting on the ground. So I've shot a lot with my Helium, my Matthews Helium, because it's 30 inches axle-to-axle, gets a lot of ground clearance when I'm sitting. You know, if I was shooting, like right now, I got a Halon 32, I'd probably have to be on my knees or my cam might hit the ground. That's the only thing that's different. See, I use coyote hunting for me, like bow. The reason why I bow hunt them also, other than the fact that I want to hunt close to my house, is it's practice for the big show for me. It's practice for big game animals. Nothing's going to give you shot acquisition, guessing ranges. And really, you know, like guys suffer from target panic or they suffer from buck fever and stuff. Come on, you know how, what a rush is it when a coyote comes barreling in? And, or, I mean, can you imagine a bear or a mountain lion come barreling in, you know, and you're going to get, but that's how you work through those things is experience. You know, we talk about it all the time. You know, back in the day when I guided or whatever, like the guys from the Midwest would come elk hunting and those guys, they don't know how to elk hunt, but every one of them would kill an elk because they were killers. They know how to, they know how to kill because they've been shooting whitetail out of tree stands for, you know, the last 10 years. They shoot one or two whitetail every year. You know, even if it's a doe, you get, you learn how to get composure and you learn how to, you know, harness that energy that you're feeling, that, you know, excitement, and put the arrow where it needs to go. I would say coyote hunting coming up was my number one, you know, factor that allowed me to be successful in the field as I am, with a bow. God, that sounds really conceited. But it's the truth. I mean, like I have a very high success rate. I mean, do I miss times at time? Yeah, I miss every year. There's a couple shit. I mean, this past year on my Ibex hunt, I missed freaking three times, but those, so Ibex hunting, for instance, that's kind of like a, you know, split the second decision. You, the shot's there, the opportunity's there, draw back, acquire sight, shoot, you know, that's what it's about. And nothing's going to get you prepared like that. You're not going to get that kind of training by sitting, you know, 40 yards in front of a bag, standing, you know, on flat ground and whatever. You know, you have to get what I'm, you know, what I'm throwing here is that it's perfect training for all bow hunting, in my opinion. So,
yeah. Well, I always like to tell people that the reason why I hunt coyotes so much is just because, of the adrenaline rush and of, because, you know, that aspect of it. But I got kind of a funny story that, I mean, I don't tell a lot of people, but I had a buck in front of me that was probably the biggest buck I'll ever have a chance at, mm-hmm. and physically could not pull my bow back. I had lost.
Not the first person to tell me that.
I had lost everything. Like, I was upset. I didn't understand it. I was like, I don't know, a 10-year-old boy trying to pull back a 70-pound bow, and it just didn't work. And that's why I grew up as a mule deer hunter, and that's why that's kind of why my brand is like that. It's mule deer insurance. I'm out there, you know, protecting right. the mule deer, hopefully, and taking out a couple of these coyotes to ensure that there's going to be a lot more mule deer to become. And they're hard on them. So, but yeah, I mean, adrenaline, you talk about that, and I can see what you're saying there as far as like getting yourself prepared mentally for something like that. And I really feel like that's a great thing because, man, I got a passion for the outdoors and I do it. I live it. I eat, sleep, and drink this stuff. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I get a kick out of it because of an experience that I had like that. So I know what you're talking about. That's a great tool. Great tool. I mean, it's awesome that you are able to have those opportunities. You know, I'd give anything to be able to have that many opportunities at coyotes, even with a rifle or a shotgun. I mean, what you're getting with a bow is amazing. It's awesome. So,
the gang, give me a big head, man. You've killed way more coyotes than I have. It's just like,
you would spend, I'm not kidding you, I mean, as good as you are, the setups that you do, I mean, you would spend it's just trying to figure these coyotes out up here in the terrain. I mean, you've got the, everything down there, and it's working for you. It's what you're doing. So that's why we're doing this.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I've spent many years perfecting that. It's been 10 years that I've already kind of figured it out for the last 10 years. But, when I started doing this a while back, my first time actually going coyote hunting was only like, I don't know, 16 years ago, 17 years ago, maybe. And a buddy of mine, a guide, Pat Feld of Arizona Guides, I think that's the name of his company. He took me out the very first time, and I was hooked. I was like, I literally went out and bought a Fox Pro like the next day because I was like, damn, I need to go do this. This is fun. And I used my rifle the first couple times. I had some success, and then I started like just starting putting the pieces of the puzzle together because I started wanting to bow hunt them again, as practice for big game hunting. What everybody's all season long, everybody's like, oh, I never see you at the range. I never see you doing this. And like, blah, 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 blah. But I'm doing it real life. I'm trying to put myself in positions that are gonna, that I can really use, situations and experiences that I could really use. So that's why I do a lot of coyote calling and stuff like that. Actually, in the last few years, I haven't been doing that much. I just started doing it again last year and this year. But I took a couple of years off where I wasn't really coyote calling very much because my wife is like, do we need another coyote pelt? Do we need another this? Because I don't sell them. So 9 times out of 10, I give them away because hell shit, I don't even want to freaking skin the damn things anymore. So, but yeah. And plus, since I kill them most of the times in the spring and the summertime, the coats aren't worth a crap anyway. So, anyway, I digress. But it's we got to get out and do it one of
Well,
these
it's been
times,
kind of
man.
fun.
So I've never tried
Sure,
calling any.
absolutely.
Oh, sorry, guy. I stepped on you. What were you saying?
No, you got the chopping out on service, but
Yeah, I just get a little
you're
choppy
good.
there.
You never tried to do.
I was gonna say I never tried in Utah, but then I just remembered I the first Utah mule deer I ever shot, I killed him the first day on my hunt, and I predator called for the next 2 days, and I actually shot a bobcat. So got a
Wow. Utah Bobcat.
Big son of a bitch too. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Really? That's
No
cool.
coyotes came in though.
That was with your bow? Wow. Yeah,
I'm gonna show you.
what's going on with our service.
That's my first coyote or my first bobcat with the bow right there. I
Is
should.
that your that's the Utah one?
No, the Utah one. I gave it to a buddy of mine who lived in Utah and who did pelts and stuff like that, and because I knew he could make some money off of it. So yeah, it was
That's
pretty cool.
all. Yeah, that's cool. I just got my Bobcat last fall. I don't know if you watched that video with my friends of Hidden Instinct, but
I did not. Oh,
we were
wait,
able
no,
to
I
get
didn't
it
see
on
that one.
film. We weren't calling for bobcats, but the bobcat ended up showing up, and my buddy's name's Garrett also, and his videographer and good friend Micah Fay, he we called it in, and it come blowing in at probably, I don't know, 6 8 minute mark, the magic mark, and I was sitting there begging Garrett on the film. I'm like, can I shoot it? Let me shoot it, and he's like, yeah, man, it's all yours. So he let it work off his side all the way over to mine. That was a lifelong dream come true. I completely lost all composure on that video. I was like, you guys gotta shut this video off. I mean, I was so emotional. Even talking about it now is just like, it's
Well, you know
crazy. I
what?
mean, all
I
those
did see it.
opportunities that I've had.
I did see it. You sent it to
I
me.
mean,
I remember.
You can't. So, yeah.
Your audio
was a lot of fun.
Out bad. Your audio's cut.
I haven't.
Yeah, I can't even hear you anymore. You've been cutting in and out all the rest of like almost the whole time though. It's like weird. Like you'd sound great for like a couple of seconds, and then you just a couple of words. Like every time you started talking, it was cutting out a little bit. It was weird. Before when you were walking around looking for a spot to sit down, it was perfect. It was like absolutely perfect. But hey, what are you gonna do? It's all right.
Sorry about that.
Lucky for you,
living in a small town.
Lucky for you, I just I talked the whole time. I took over the show. But I don't know. Do you have any questions specifically about what, you know, bull hunting them? That because there's so many things that I do that I don't realize that I do. That I'm trying to think about. I'm really going to try to put together like a video series. I had done some videos about 9 years ago that are on YouTube. It's a two-part series, and I actually, you see me calling in the coyote, you see me missing the coyote too, but you get an idea of how the setup is and what I do. And it's a nice visual. So I'll post those in the show notes here. And I will also link it when I post this video up in YouTube. I'll link it within that so you can see those. I mean, technically, like, I probably show you one of them right now if I share my screen and go to it, but I don't know what the quality will look like. But it, you know, just going back to what I started saying from the beginning in the setup, key points, perpendicular wind, have an obstruction for them to come around, try to make it a forced funnel. Always have a good backdrop, good concealed. You know, at times I really like to even have vegetation on my weak side. So again, you're looking at me bow hunting here. I could shoot all the way back here if I'm sitting down, and then I get to about here and I can't go the rest of this way because my body doesn't go. So if I have vegetation right here, that helps me out, especially when those dogs come from behind. For some reason, every time I have them, they always come from this side from behind and they pass right by me. And I've killed plenty that way. When I'm in that kind of setup. But if there's nothing in front of me here, they pick me right off, you know.
What's the most you've taken with your bow in a day?
In a day? Three. Yeah. Three. Like wow. I said, yeah. Yeah, I don't do a whole lot of stands, you know, and a lot of times I shoot one and I'm like, okay, cool. I shot one. Time to go home, you know. I do very quick things. I'll go the first very first. I really like the mornings. I'll hunt the evenings too, but I really like the mornings. I call it breaking the silence. I like to be that one first noise that hits the silent woods, you know, and those are the days that when I get there and I make my way like sort of in the dark while it's still just too dark to shoot, and I get set up and it's just light enough to shoot, and I put that call on. Those are the days I know a coyote's coming in and it's going to die. So, but, you know, if I sleep in 5 minutes late, you know, 10 minutes late, you know, it's a crapshoot. But if when I break the silence before the birds start chirping and everything, that coyote's going down.
No, those days are good days. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I don't like the heat. So, again, like I told you, I do in spring and summer, so I'm usually done real quick, you know. So like Sunday, we were out there. We were hiking out to this first stand at 4:30 in the morning, got set up, and, you know, it got light. Like it gets light here about five minutes to five, just light enough to shoot, you know. And we had that first stand and we called there. You know, and we were done probably I was back home by 8:30 in the morning. So, and that was a long trip for me. Usually I'll probably cut it off, like, especially this time of year, I'll cut it off at 7:30. So I'll go make three stands, you know, two stands, but I make them quality. Yeah. But I make them quality stands. I look for, like I said, I don't just hop out of the truck and walk willy nilly in the woods and say, okay, I'm out here. Time to call. Everybody who hunts with me gets frustrated. Like, why do you keep fucking? And I'm like, you know, searching and whatever. And I'm like, just looking for that spot. Cause I know I'm just going to watch a coyote run away if I don't find the right spot. You know, if I had a firearm, it'll be a little bit different story. I'd probably just look for a good concealment, good wind, whatever. And I wouldn't be so picky about how and where I want to set up and set the call and all that stuff. But, you know, just because you can, you know.
I need to be a little bit more picky. We get in a little bit too much of a rush a lot of the time. And I think if we're a little bit more picky, our success rate will come up. But, I mean, but there's days where it just doesn't matter. I mean, we walk out and you're like, man, this set sucks. And then all of a sudden, two blow over the ridge. And
right.
Seems to be a lot of that style. Like you're like, man, this set sucks, and this one was badass. How come we didn't call one in right there? Then we go to this one where you're just not even stoked or pumped on it, and all of a sudden they blow over the ridge. You know, it's just,
I don't know. Right.
Coyotes, there's a reason why they're going to be the last thing on this earth. You know, they're very adaptive.
Yeah, they're going to be where they want to be. Well, I think. Unless you got anything else for me, I think I've covered everything that I, at least in my head, I think I have. What's that? You cut out.
Say shameless plugs if you let me have them.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Well, we got our new YouTube channel, Coyote Snipers. We've been on there about a month and a half, maybe 2 months. We've got, I think, roughly 8 episodes. We're in the process of trying to get to 1,000 subscribers, and we're going to release a badass double tap video that we videoed 2 weeks ago. My partner, Colton Gillum, and my wife just smoked a double on film, and we're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers so that we can release this video. So that's it, man. Just get over and order some mule deer insurance gear and some coyote sniper gear. That's about it, man. This has been a lot of fun. I love these. I enjoy the hell out of them.
Yeah, me too, man. Anytime I get to talk about hunting, period, I'm happy. But I always like to talk about bow hunting on coyotes because not many people do it, and I know there's a lot of guys that want to do it. So it's fun. Mm-hmm. Me and my cousins and I have been doing it for years, and you know, it's just like I said, really good practice for the. For the big game season, and just a good way to pass the downtime between seasons. And I think, I don't know, I guess if I was actually hunting in traditional coyote seasons, you know, in the winters and stuff like that, I think that'd be fun too. I mean, not that I haven't done it, but I've done it a lot less than I've done it during the spring and summer. So, yeah. So cool, man. Well, thanks for being a part of this and helping me produce it. And so for you, those of you guys out there that want to learn a little bit more about it, I've written some articles. You could check out my Outdoor Insiders page. I think I've written 2 in Fin and Fur, or Fur, Fish, and Fin. Wow, I forgot the name of that of that magazine right now. I also have, like I said, I have those 2 videos that I did on YouTube like 9 years ago on the same YouTube channel that you're watching this on right now. So I'll put some links in the bottom here, and you can just take a look at them. There's actually kind of, once you've heard me say it and you watch that, you'll kind of see the pieces of the puzzle come together. It's cool video. I shoot and miss a coyote, and then a fox comes in and I kill the fox. So it's a pretty cool setup. Anyway, well, thanks again, man. We'll definitely have to get together and go shoot some coyotes. And if you come out to Arizona, we'll probably get you a bobcat, another bobcat to match your Utah bobcat.
Yeah.
Maybe some fox. Fox, I could pretty much guarantee you. Bobcats, you know, they come when they want to come.
All right, John. Well, it's been a lot of fun, man. Anytime. Just hit me up.